This is your spoiler alert for Fourth Wing chapters 21 to 25, right? That was the...
Yeah, 21 through 25.
Ever since I messed up...
It's hard when you're trying to get like nice numbers.
Yeah, ever since I messed up, I'm super self-conscious. But anyways, that's not important. Text recap. Let's go.
Ah, yes. Our story continues. We learn more about Violet's bodyguard, Liam, who says he owes Zayden everything. We also learn that leadership perhaps isn't being forthright with how things are going from the front. Scandal! Speaking of scandal, Violet kisses Zayden. Wah, wah, wah!
Zayden!
He helps her block out, let's just say, unwanted dragon emotions. Tee-hee! And then it just, well, happens. Right! And if things weren't complicated enough, she's scheduled to fight Jack on the sparring mat. Finally, we reach the end of year squad battle, where the stakes are raised. The winning squad gets to visit the front. Hooray, a visit to an active war zone. Surprise, they win! After a daring heist into, of all people, Violet's mother's office.
I'm still laughing at the Violet kisses Zayden. Whatever voice came out.
It was a little bit like a match game. Violet kisses Zayden.
Surprise, it's Zayden. He's
Zayden
the one.
Ryerson behind door number two.
Color me totally surprised to find that Zayden and Violet hooked up. I never thought that was going to happen. I did not think he was going to be the romantic.
Didn't see it coming.
Lead.
Yeah, I was waiting for Dane to come sweep her off her feet.
I've been thinking Liam this whole time.
Liam? Well, Liam is a very, like, young adult romance, the guy's name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like, absolutely.
We were in post-apocalyptic whatever, and Liam and I were in the Liam. Training school together.
Liam helped us through the dragon fields and the...
Right.
And to the caves of Hashushriel.
No, Shushriel is the name of the Dark Lord.
That's right. Well, this is Hashushriel.
This is Hashushriel. This is country.
I don't know why that's the first... Shushriel.
The fact that we were talking about young adult, I was like, wait, I missed the most important thing about a young adult novel. There's got to be a rebellion.
Oh yeah, that's the whole thing, and it all.
Which this book doesn't have a rebellion yet.
It's going to.
Right. Well, it has a rebellion, but the rebellion of the bad guys.
Yeah, the rebellion of the bad guys. They're definitely joining the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
Like once they go to the front.
In the post Star Wars world, you got to join the rebellion. Nobody's ever like, how many stories where it's like, our hero has to squash the rebellion.
Yeah. Ruthlessly put down the plucky rebellion.
That's right.
Unless it's like a Civil War story.
Well, then we definitely want to squash
that. In that case, you're like, we got to squash this rebellion. This rebellion's got to get squashed. Oh, Liam? He's dying.
Oh.
He's going to die.
No.
He's definitely going to die.
How do you know he's going to? How?
Because we've never seen him until a chapter ago.
He's a half red shirt. He's a red shirt we get to know and has a brief moment with Jessenina. I almost put that in the recap, that Liam has the hots for Jessenina, the
deaf girl?
Mm-hmm, the deaf scribe.
Yeah, definitely.
Which Violet also just knows how to sign, because.
She's exceptional.
She's a Mary Sue.
She's a Mary Sue.
And also, I think we've just forgotten the fact that she has osteoporosis and brittle bones, right? Like, because now it doesn't come up.
No.
She falls off the dragon. That's about the only thing that's like, I'm struggling. Everything else is like, nope, I'm just amazing.
Yeah. Why don't they have saddles for these dragons?
Because they have a thing like in their back. They have a nice little place. That's the god who made dragons made a place for them to be ridden.
They must be ridden. She's going to have to get a saddle made.
I almost said the god Morgoth. That is not Morgoth. Even close.
No.
That is the evil...
Satan of the Middle Earth universe.
Then I almost said Melkor, which is just another name for Morgoth.
That's true. Melkor. She's going to have to get a saddle made because she has a magic saddle. Yes, but he can't keep doing that because he has to hold back his powers.
Which we don't know his powers yet, right?
No. Well, no, she hasn't manifested.
And Darna can stop time.
Yes, but then she falls. She becomes Sleeping Beauty after that.
Which I will say, the thing about Andarna that I liked was that it was so costly for her to use it. Because that would be so, like, plot broken if just any time she could just stop time. I'm glad it's like, you get 3.5 seconds once every 4 weeks.
It's kind of like in a video game when you have your, like, magic meter. You use it.
Backyard baseball, yes. Yeah. When you use your power-ups to have Pablo Sanchez
hit a home run. Hits a home run, yeah, you're like, ah.
Man.
I don't have him for a while now.
That's right. Now I only have Randy Johnson throwing spitballs.
I'm going to have to bring in the reliever, Kenny Kawaguchi.
Hey, I liked Kenny Kawaguchi.
Me too. He was a very good pitcher.
He was. I was more of a nut. What's Ernie, the big tall kid?
Yes.
He was my favorite.
Did you play when they brought in, like, actual MLB players? Yeah.
That was the only copy I had. They had Chipper Jones on there.
I had Randy Johnson as one of my pitchers. Mm-hmm. Ken Griffey Jr. I was a big Ken Griffey Jr. Fan, so I obviously had him, yeah. Backwards hat and everything.
Oh yeah,
they kind of, but you know, I started playing the original Backyard Baseball, and it did kind of dilute. Like at that point, I only used. Like,
there was a version before.
Yeah, with just the kids, with no MLB players. That was the original. So when they brought in the MLB players, I was like, whole new world.
Yeah.
Now we've got Barry Bonds,
Barry Larkin.
We've got Barry Larkin. We've got Cal Ripken Jr.
Jeff Bagwell.
Jeff Bagwell was on there. It was what a time.
I know they couldn't do that now. It's like Backyard Baseball. Here's Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, he would be unstoppable.
I know. He's Pablo Sanchez is Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. Pablo Sanchez, I mean, I would like to see what that guy's up to now.
His belly button hanging out.
Yeah, the belly button hanging out.
His belly button's still hanging out, but he's just drinking a Modelo.
Yeah.
And a Dodgers game.
And he still hasn't learned English.
Yes.
If anybody knows what Pablo Sanchez is up to nowadays, let us know.
Right. I think he's at a
Dodgers
game.
Have you heard that Jason Kelce wants to buy the Backyard franchise and bring it back?
No way.
He just talked about it on his podcast recently.
Is it going to be Kelce's timeout? It's time.
Okay.
You said Kelce. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Okay.
Because it's what people want.
And this book is the Taylor Swift of books right now. Girls are losing their minds over this. I don't think it's as popular as Taylor Swift, but it's kind of got Taylor Swift vibes of as far as like every like girl who checks all the Taylor Swift boxes is into this.
But the thing about Taylor Swift is Taylor Swift has more artistic merit than
absolutely.
This book has. Yeah,
Taylor Swift could write a better novel. I mean, Taylor Swift
did write a novel, right? Like did she? I think I remember she wrote a novel when she was younger.
Okay.
I don't think she published it.
Okay. Taylor Swift is a talented writer. She's a talented songwriter. And and people can hate on Taylor Swift. And anytime I think I want to hate on Taylor Swift, like the fandom and how kind of creepy it seems.
It is a little. Living vicariously through
a little bit. Like these girls. I saw like a reel the other day. This girl that heard like 1 second of all these Taylor Swift songs and could name the song.
Yikes.
But then I find myself on a Tennessee football Saturday when we beat Alabama weeping uncontrollably. And
that's true.
Staking my entire weekend on what 18 to 22 year olds are doing on the football field.
Anything you see yourself in, I think.
Yeah.
There's a positive and a negative.
Sure.
Probably because positive is like communal.
Yeah.
You know, like getting together. Negative is like Sam going for a walk around his neighborhood because he's so upset about losing to Florida. Which is accurate. That happened. I was walking. It was a night game, so it's like 10 o'clock at night. There's just some guy walking on the street talking into Marco Polo about, we just don't have a secondary. Graham Mertz is making us. We made Graham Mertz look like Tom Brady. My neighbor's like, can you shut up and go to bed?
I was so upset after the Florida game that my friend who has the longest fuse of any people that I know went off on me. It was like, you got to stop. You're too negative about this. It's just, and we both care so much. He's like, it's just a game. Go home. Mm. And I was like,
maybe we bonded over our negativity about Tennessee football.
I think we did. Yeah, you would come into the store and I'd be like,
just complain about it. Yeah.
But at that point, we had nothing to complain about because we were undefeated.
We got to number one.
Yeah. Oh, I missed last year. Anyways.
I don't think I do. It was so much stress.
It was, but you know what?
I liked being so bad I didn't have to care past October.
I don't like that. I don't want to go back to that. No, don't bring that back. And the NCAA is coming down. We'll talk about that later at another podcast.
Call into the show.
877. This is the Fine Beam show.
It's the Fine Beam. Let's transition to what we liked. I love a good heist scene.
Okay.
Always one of my favorite scenes. Yeah. I think it says something about this book that it can kind of, this could be a negative about it, but I enjoyed it as a positive that it kind of chameleons into like, you know what, we can do a heist scene here. Like, how many books do you know that can just change genre, like a shift like that?
Yeah.
But I think since this book is so just plot driven, that it's like, as long as it's fun, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, like you wouldn't want like in the middle of, I'm trying to think of like a, I don't know. I've never read Tom Lake, but I doubt that. And Benjamin has a heist scene in the middle of that story.
Well, you'd be surprised because there is.
Really?
I'm kidding. I don't know.
Dang it.
I read Tom Lake.
Or like in To Kill a Mockingbird. It's like, we have to break into the school and steal this evidence that proves that Tom is innocent. I
mean, what are you talking about? A scout and her gang are pulling a heist on Boo Radley's place. The whole time. That's the whole plot of the book. Have you read To Kill a Mockingbird?
What's Truman Capote's, what's his character's name?
Who is Truman Capote in that book? He's the friend.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah. It's definitely a Truman Capote.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. If anybody out there, but remembers
he's the hacker. He knows how to take out the security cams.
And Jim is like, he's the George Clooney. He's Danny Ocean.
He lets himself get arrested by the town sheriff to distract him, so they can get into Boo Radley's place.
Boo Radley's place is like the Bellagio. They're trying to get into it. It's the Andy Garcia character.
It's the Monroeville Bellagio. Wait, what's the? Not Monroeville. Monroeville's the real town it's based off. Yeah. Macomb.
Yeah.
He's the Macomb.
It's hard to bring up a perfect book and then to talk about Fourth Wing.
That's what we do on this show. We bring up as many books as we can.
That's exactly right.
We had a heist scene.
I
liked the heist scene. It did kind of feel like when you're doing a puzzle and there's like a piece that doesn't really fit and you just kind of in there. But I just like a heist scene. And I enjoyed that it was her mother's office. I think, not to turn this into a criticism, but it is something I find with this book where I just... there's so much potential that I find myself getting upset when it moves on so quick.
Yeah.
With the mom's office, I was like, we could have lingered there. There was more I want. Like, you could have, like, she looked at the map and was like, things aren't what they seem.
Contrast that with any of the heist type things from Harry Potter. That took chapters to get through.
Yeah.
Many chapters.
But also there was always like what it revealed when they found something.
Yeah.
I feel like in Harry Potter, it was always like what they revealed, you had no clue what it actually was. It was something that would come up later. It was like, what's that vat over there that's glowing?
Yeah, like anytime you're in
He falls into a pensieve one time in a high scene.
Yeah, in Dumbledore's office.
And
I
you're
think.
Like, what is... Yeah. What?
Yeah. Anytime you're in Dumbledore's office, the mystery of the things that are in there, even when he's in there with Harry, so well done. I mean, you know, just...
Let's talk about that mystery thing. It's like Harry Potter is just mystery after mystery. Yeah.
And, but payoff too.
But every part of you wants to know.
Uh-huh.
I think the way she does magic in that story is great because some mysteries are just magic in like a good way.
Yeah.
Talk about in this book, are there any places where you kind of get that same sense of mystery? Because I am because Harry Potter, there's just, I feel like I'm constantly asking questions. And here I'm like asking questions, but it's just like, when are her and Zayden going to get together? Which dragon's she going to get?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The mystery for me... Okay, so this is going to turn into a criticism. The mystery for me is what is going on in the world, but everybody in this world kind of knows what's going on. Like, you know,
it's the war with Peromio?
Yeah, why are they at war?
Like,
anything about the Griffin Riders, like, we're going... Okay, here's the mystery. So she finds the paper... She reads that paper about the front.
Oh, yeah.
From the archives, and then they don't talk about it.
More wards. Summerton.
Summerton,
and it doesn't get mentioned.
So what the mystery for me, I guess, is what is the government hiding?
Yeah.
Why are they not telling these students about what's going on?
Which came out of nowhere.
It did.
And I don't know if it's like, if I read it again, if I would be like, oh, no, it didn't come out of nowhere. Because to me, it's like there's two ways to kind of write a twist. It's like, has to be unpredictable but inevitable.
Yeah.
That's a good twist. Like a bad twist is just like, whoop! boom, there you go. Yeah. You know, it just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't remember if this was like, basically what I'm saying is like, this is starting to scream Violet's joining the rebellion. Like,
yep.
The Tirindor rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not the Bromiel, but no. There's two conflicts going on, but the Tirindor thing's over.
Yes, that happened like years ago.
Zayden's daddy. Yeah.
We find out more about it through Liam and
Ned Ryerson.
Ned Ryerson.
I don't know her dad's real name, but now he's Ned Ryerson.
It's definitely Ned Ryerson. Let's see. He left.
Punxsutawney.
Yeah, Punxsutawney. I think one of the things I do like is Liam and finding out more about that rebellion.
Yeah, Liam's good.
From him. And mm-hmm. he seems like a pretty reasonable character.
Yeah, he's taking the place of Zayden for me.
Yeah.
Because Zayden, we just got too close to him.
Yeah.
It's something. The moment the mystery fell off of him, I was like, I'm not interested anymore.
We have got to talk about.
But once again, I'm not the target audience. So I'm not like chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
For Zayden.
Yeah. Whenever I see a new, like, romantic thing come out, I'm not like, oh my gosh, how are they going to get together? Right. Friends to enemies right. to friends to enemies.
We don't have a Jim and Pam on The Office vibe here.
No, there's not a will they, won't they. It's like, they're gonna.
It's, yeah, that's true.
We're not going to have a wedding where they're all going to dance to Chris Brown.
Hey, don't. Chris Brown could exist in this universe.
He might. He probably does.
Because turkey sandwiches do.
That's true.
You know? So yeah, you never sandwich. Know if there's
if,
like...
If turkey sandwiches exist, then probably Chris Brown.
This is the bard Christopher Brown and his hit song track, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
I only got one night, well, there's one, you me on the dance floor.
Double me your on pleasure, the dragon.
Double your fun, dance forever, ever, ever. Oh, dragons, dragons, dragons.
Dragons, dragons, dragons.
Every 2000s rapper actually exists. Hurricane Chris is here. Chingy's here. Do your chain hang low.
Hurricane Chris was the hand clap, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was.
Hurricane Chris. taking me right back to prom.
Back in the day when like, there was like
let all... Laffy Taffy, let Laffy Taffy dragons.
This is off topic, but there was... Back in that era, there was all the rappers, right? And then there was all the pop artists who'd be like, you know what this song needs? A rap verse from Lil Wayne.
Wheeze it!
Just out of nowhere, it's like, here's a song by, what was that? Kevin Rudolph has that, when I arrive, and it's like, Lil Wayne's in this song.
Yeah, it was like, here's a song by Michael Bublé, and then
here's
it's like,
Lil Wayne!
Wheeze it!
Here is a song by One Republic. You know what it needs? Timberland.
Yeah, man, I really...
Good times.
I was in my feels with that song for a while.
I think the reason we're talking about this is because we're avoiding talking about the Terran scale scene.
Oh my gosh.
I was not ready for.
Okay, so let's get right into the dragon sex.
Hey, we just know there was feelings. It never confirmed.
No, there was a long time where I think it's pretty explicit and it was affecting both Zayden and Violet.
Zayden goes and smokes Chara? What?
Essentially, I guess weed or some whatever.
She just walks outside after like being overwhelmed with desire for Liam.
And
like,
he's just there just smoking it.
I was
cheap
kind
and
of like, is this going to happen with Liam? Like,
yes.
Here we go. And then she's like, no. And then she stumbles outside and Zayden's just in the dark with.
He's just cheaping a cig out there. And she's stuck. I mean, how convenient.
Right. I actually put that scene in things I liked.
You liked it?
No, I didn't like it. I have to learn to block them out.
Yeah.
Part.
I liked it because I didn't want to see that again.
Yeah. I think I think we have been asking the whole time is like, does the dragon get access to all of her thoughts? So what happens when inevitably we have a naughty scene later? Is like Taryn going to be whispering in her mind like, this is weird. I would prefer not to be privy to this. But then I was like, oh, okay, like they had to learn how to shut each other out. And it's like, I've given you a situation where you really want to shut the dragon out right now.
You think, you know what? I think Taharen maybe could have given her a heads up.
No.
Before this happened.
You know, just spur of the moment. Him and his lover's Gale were just, you know, they bought some Trader Joe's wine
they
for
got
$4.
Some Josh.
And
yeah.
It just sort of happened. You know, this is what happens when you get.
It was like a movie night.
They were
like
watching Love is Blind.
Yeah. All of a sudden he's like, well, this Josh wine's really gotten to me.
That's right.
And, whoop, here we go.
Josh
and
wine, not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Could be.
Josh,
call Josh,
us. Give us a call. Yeah, that was I was not expecting. Well,
so she gets the. She's like laying in bed, right? And then it's just like, bam! Like all these like lustful.
And she says
it like it's lust.
Yeah, she gets the dragon lust.
And
in
Liam's
her veins.
Outside her door, like
sleeping by her door as he's been
going
doing.
On. And then she stumbles outside. Like I see her just like stumbling.
Yeah.
Because she's just mad with lust.
In my view, it was like everything kind of started to swim, and she was like, "Oh, like having to hold the wall because she's like so overcome
dragon
with dragon
love.
Lust."
Yeah, lust. Sorry, love and lust. Is dragon lust and dragon love, are they different?
Well, they have to be in love, right? They're a pair.
They're a mated pair.
We won't call it lust.
Yeah, but she called it lust. That's what I thought was unfair.
Yeah, she was not.
I was like, they're a mated pair.
Yeah, they're a mated pair. I mean, it's all in the
maybe they got married in a dragon sense.
I think they did.
There was a dragon preacher.
Seems like it.
You know?
Yep. In a whole ceremony.
Dragon preacher totally took a verse out of context and read it. You know?
Love is patient.
Love is kind. Or
love does not breathe fire at each other.
My dragons will be your dragons and your God will be my God. And, you know, okay. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly.
And they got married.
And
maybe there was like a pick a seat, not a side sign at their ceremony.
Probably. It's probably
yeah.
And she would have probably been on, she would have been on Taryn's side, but she could have been on Scale's side.
She'd been
too.
Invited, but is it like the Dragon Council? You know, where only dragons can go. Can only dragons go to dragon weddings?
Maybe that's something we're gonna see in upcoming books. Like, and Darna is a baby.
Yeah, and maybe so, she starts dating.
Yeah, maybe she starts dating, and then
is there a dragon Tinder?
Could be.
You know,
it's actually called Tinder, and it makes sense because fire.
Right.
Yeah, the dragons. I was not ready for it.
Honestly, I wasn't ready for it. But the thing I think I liked the least was how Zayden, it just happened to work out that he puts his hands on her head to teach her how to block out. Yeah. Which, what did she do? It was like, put yourself in a place you can imagine. It was like a mind palace, but it was the archives for her.
Yeah, it's kind of like Charles Xavier stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of Harry Potter with his connection to Voldemort, having to block out Voldemort.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, except this isn't blocking out the evil bad guy trying to steal the secrets. This is blocking out two dragons. We watch the James Bond movies, and every time I see Ralph Fiennes come on screen, I just immediately go, Harry Potter. I just can't. Like, he's like M. He's like,
left.
It's like, Bond, we need to get into this. And I'm like, Harry Potter.
You know, here's
kill
the-
him. I've had a good
hobble. So the funniest scene in the book so far to me, and this is just how I pictured it, just from my brain, is she's like, just like, I don't know how she slipped past Liam as she was like swimming in passion.
He let her go, right?
I think.
Because she was like looking at him with the googly eyes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just like picturing her like stumbling through the hallway, like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
And then she like pops, just busts through the door outside, and she's like, and then, and it's just Zayden just sitting there, what are you doing here? And it's just like,
Zayden's Southern now.
What are you doing here, Violet?
Well, and he's just, Tirindor is like the southern part of this continent. So maybe they're the rednecks.
Yeah. I hope so. but I'm just picturing her being like, what a situation I find myself in. It's just, right. it's like a pan over to Zayden, and he's just there smoking a cigarette. Like,
No, you're seeing what I'm seeing, huh? What happens is we just see the end of the cigarette light in the dark, and then the smoke, and then Zayden just steps out of the darkness. He's like, so you get it.
Or it's like a Wes Anderson movie where it's like, you know, you're like really meticulously following Violet through this whole hallway, and then she's like, she busts out the door, and then she's like, you know, pan, and then it just like has the quick pan the and zoom pan. Over to Zayden. He's like, yeah, they do this from time to time. He's Jason Schwartzman.
That's right. Oh man, that's the casting.
So you know they're doing it, huh?
That's right. Yeah. And that means like one of the professors at the university has to be Bill Murray if this is a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, he's the he is the War College guy, or they're all the War College guys.
That's right.
He's the battle brief guy. Okay. And he's like very like.
Well, he could be the guy that cracked that dude's neck that just out of nowhere walked through. That could be the Bill Murray character.
No, that's not him.
No,
you know who that is. Who's the guy that plays the Green Goblin? It's Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe is that guy, and he has some sort of like evil look to him, and he's the one that cracks the neck.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
That was really good. Tilda Swinton is her mother.
Yes. Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum definitely has some part in the castle.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum is in the archives.
Yeah. He's No, Jeff Goldblum's the healer guy that has to heal her.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Violet, I see that you've gotten you've hurt yourself again. This is the content people wanted, us casting Fourth Wing if it was a Wes Anderson movie.
Owen Wilson is Jack. Wow. Violet, I'm going to have to kill you.
So, wow.
Wow.
Violet.
Wow.
Can't do it right now.
The worst.
I just can't think.
Evil. So evil.
Jack has no good lines.
Or, you know what? You know who Jack is? We're really going off subject, but Jack is the mean kid in Moonrise Kingdom. That's who Jack is.
What's that? Who is that
He's
kid?
Like the bully in Moonrise Kingdom. You know, have you seen Moonrise Kingdom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing movie. Mm-hmm. You know when they like get in the fight with the arrow that ends up killing the dog? He's mm-hmm. like the bad guys.
Okay.
They're like the bad kids.
Yeah.
That's Jack.
Okay.
Owen Wilson's somewhere in this, yeah. but he's not
He's probably more of a cameo role.
Yeah, because, you know, he's not young.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's all I can do.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. I think we talked about the things we enjoy. Is there anything else you enjoyed from these chapters?
No, that's pretty much it. In fact, one thing that you enjoy, I didn't enjoy. The heist. Yeah. I didn't like the heist.
You didn't like the heist?
It was so half-baked.
Yeah, it was.
It came out of...
But it's just like, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, we're doing something fun. I've been kind of like wanting some fun the last couple chapters because...
Sure.
It's half-baked.
It was half-baked. Like, it came out of, first off, the whole thing came out of nowhere. Like, and this is something in other books that you're building up to.
Right.
They just dropped it. Like, by the way, we have the end-of-school competition.
Which also came out of nowhere.
Came out of nowhere.
Squad battle was like, we learned about it 3 chapters ago. Oh, and let's talk about the fact, hey, you win. You get to go to an active war zone.
You get the, and they're like excited. They're like wanting to win. I would be like, no, let's not win.
Well, and think about the fact that it's like let's think about this from management's side, right? Management is clearly hiding that things aren't going well. You know what we should do? We're already hiding that things aren't going well. Let's send some kids down to the front.
Send them to the front. It's like, imagine if, you know, little school children in England in the 1940s.
In Chronicles of Narnia. Instead of going to the house. They get to go down to see the Blitz.
Peter and Susan, we're going to be landing on the beaches of Normandy. And you're going to get to go on the front lines, the U-boats. You're going to
win a special prize.
And it's the prize for winning the school play. So, yeah, I'm completely baffled. It further muddies the water to me of like, what is this universe?
Yeah.
Why are they wanting to do this? Why? I would throw it completely. I would not want to win this competition. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons we're so bummed a little bit here is because, like, it happens so many times where there's half movies, right? The first half of the movie, you're like, I am in.
Yep.
This is going so... I think what immediately comes to mind is we're watching the Bond films and we saw Spectre. Mm-hmm. And Spectre is a half movie. The first half is great. In the second half, things just start coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They're not set up. Mm-hmm. They're not, they're not a payoff because they're not a setup. They're just plot elements out of nowhere. Characters start doing things that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. I think for this one, also, like, we're still world building, which can work if it fits. But this is just like, this happens, which, by the way, we've been doing ever since the beginning of the school, you know? And I'm like, it just feels convenient.
Yeah.
Everything is just very convenient.
Like them going to the front is convenient because we obviously know they're going to get involved in a battle.
Right. Well, we'll save that for our prediction section.
Predictions. Can I read you my notes real quick? Because I think they're kind of humorous. I read them to you before.
They don't have to know that. I would love to hear your
notes. Cut that out. I'm going to read you my notes. Okay, here's my notes from these chapters. As I was reading, I was writing these down.
Like a good reader.
Like a good reader.
You know, making notes.
Like a good reader. I write down notes. Okay. Who is Liam? He's dying soon. I'm saying Liam's dying. They name drop the king, King Tari. We're just now hearing about him.
He may have gotten one mention when they talked about the rebellion and killing the parents.
I didn't catch it then. I'm like, who is this? We're just now mentioning the king?
Yeah.
What does he do? Where does he govern? I don't know.
Right. We needed to see the king.
Speaking of the government, I wrote down, the government is bad, I think. They've twisted history, it sounds like. Rhiannon, Hermione tendencies. She seems like she's exceptional at school.
That's right.
Zayden,
but she wasn't at first because Violet had to tutor her.
Yeah, but now she apparently is like, oh, of course she's doing so much better than everybody.
Right.
Very much like Hermione. Zayden, shirtless wrestling. Violet pines.
Violet pines a lot.
She does pine.
My one note was every time I put under disliked, every time we see Zayden.
She's like, so his back with whatever the...
His rippling muscles. And his beautiful face. God, his beautiful face.
Violet, calm down.
Violet had a wry smile.
The dragons are just chilling. They're watching TV right now. Nothing's happening. Right.
They're watching Love is Blind and drinking some Josh.
Yeah, and they haven't even got... Yeah. And then next I said, they kiss? But then... It's like, no, 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 we can't do this. Of course they did that. Yeah. Of course it was like, no, no, we can't do this. How stupid of me. How could we? And then we're going to pretend like it didn't happen.
It's like when Jim and Pam kissed at the end of...
Season 2.
Did I just spoil The Office for people?
We have so many spoilers for stuff.
It was 2007.
Yeah, if you haven't, come on. Come on. My next note is another rare signet. We probably do need to wrap this up soon.
That's true. We kind of got our predictions. You think Liam's going to die?
Yeah.
Any other predictions? I mean, we think they're going to join the rebellion.
Well, they're going to join the rebellion. They're going to get a battle in the front when they go, because they won.
They're going to fight somebody.
They're going to fight somebody, and some truths are going to be uncovered.
You think Liam dies there?
Liam's dying there.
Okay.
He's going to sacrifice himself for Violet.
Oh, yeah. Or is Violet or Zayden? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what was fun? What's been fun about this podcast? Some friends of mine have been able to listen, and I had a friend, Country Rob, who wrote in to the
Country
show.
Country Rob. Shout out Country
Rob. Shout out to Country
Rob.
He wrote in.
Are you saying we have our first question?
We do. We have our first question. We have a mailbag.
We have a mailbag.
We have a mailbag.
You need to say mailbag in like a dragon voice, though, because this is a dragon podcast right now.
Mail! Wait, no, though. That was more like Blues Clues. Sorry.
Mailbag. We have a raven.
A raven has tapped on our window and has a mailbag question from Country Rob.
It has a signet letter that has been marked with the seal of one Country Rob.
Country Rob.
Thank you, dear raven.
Who hails from the hamlet of Oak Ridge. So here we go. This is from Country Rob. He says he loves the show.
Nice.
His wife read the book and loved it, and he's been reading, and so he's enjoyed listening and reading along. He asks, if you two were to enter Basquiat, what quadrant would you shoot to be in?
Mm.
The easy guess would be scribes, considering each of your well-readedness and Texas ownership of a bookstore.
Right.
Are you kind of already a scribe? He says in parentheses. Good question. Yes. But maybe you'd surprise us and say something else. What say you?
I know for a fact there's no way in heck I'm going into the writer's quadrant.
No.
Completely uninterested. I don't have a death wish or a need to prove a daggum thing to anyone. So we've got scribes, healers.
Writers.
And I think there's...
There's like infantry.
Infantry. Infantry, it's like...
In the world of dragons,
you're going to get scorched.
You're just fodder.
Infantry are the guys that it's like, they just took out an entire regiment with one flaming breath.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
why would you even sign up for that?
Yeah.
I would rather be a rider than an infantry, to be honest with you.
I'd rather be neither.
Well, yeah, both of them are bad options.
Yeah.
I would be a scribe. He's right. Probably Country scribe. Rob's right, I think,
okay.
For both of us.
Let's take Country Rob's question, though, and expand it a little bit.
Okay.
If you could make your own quadrant.
Oh, good question. Okay. Michael.
It's got to be like fantasy.
Yeah.
You can't be like, I'd be in the iPhone quadrant. You know, nothing like that.
I would start a sports quadrant and try to bring some like recreation to the school where there's no recreation except for just like hooking up. That's the only thing that they do that's of any recreation.
So you would bring like some Quidditch to Basketh?
Some Quidditch, something like that. But it needs it. It's begging for it.
But Rebecca's a American. So Quidditch feels like football. Yes. You know, football. Soccer. So sports at Basketh would look like American sports. So it'd be like the high school.
Yeah.
Baseball. The high school football team.
Yeah, football team or baseball, something like
Basketh, that. We're playing against Tyrendor on Friday.
Man, I hate Tyrendor.
We hadn't beat they won 14 state championships.
That's right.
And so
we're trying to.
Sorry, they got 14 province championships, and we're just.
And you got like an old guy who graduated from Basketh like years ago. He's got the championship ring on. He's like, get you one of these. Son.
It's Tim McGraw.
It's Buddy. Buddy Garrity.
Buddy Garrity. Lila wants pipes.
Buddy Garrity. He had another question, Country Rob. Oh, wait. What would yours be?
Bard's College. Storytellers. We write the stories of the realm. Like when our football team, I don't know what, we need to invent what their Quidditch is. We don't have time right now.
Yeah, we'll do that, though.
But, so in a future episode, we'll invent what would the Basketh or the Empyrean. Mm-hmm. What would the sport be?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like Dragon Ball.
Next week.
Wait, no, that's done. That's been taken. Right? Dragon Ball is a whole. Yeah, she can't do Dragon Ball.
Okay.
It's
well,
a brand.
We'll figure it out. Country Rob's second question was some of my biggest laughs have come from when Texas booming narrator voice slips into Southern Appalachian and references to Katniss Everdeen being, quote unquote, one of us and a Vol.
It's true.
It made me think that you two gentlemen could briefly storyboard a brief outline of what a fantasy novel set in something akin to the American South or Appalachia would look like. I can't think of two better men for the job. Love the show.
Gosh.
I'll hang up and listen. He says,
that's
we're definitely
another future episode. We have to invent the plot.
Yeah, we're in. We'll do that.
You get up on that dragon right there and you go do some flame breath on them baddies.
You know what? I was down there, with my dragon. I parked him up on his street.
He's studying down at Dragon State. He took the state scholarship.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm calling in because I was down there at your Dragon College down there, and my daughter, Violet, she's in school down there.
That's right, yeah.
And I went to your convenience store down there, and I got
a little pick and save.
It was a pick and save. I got me a turkey sandwich down there, and I tell you right now, it was bad.
That's right.
Because I was driving home, my wife Sharon Jean, and I was driving home on our dragon down there, and I had a new sheepskin saddle down there.
That's
on the dragon.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. I got the bubble guts right there.
What we'd have to do is
I had the diarrhea. Your turkey sandwich gave me diarrhea, but by God, and I'm going to come down there and whip your ass with the dragon down
you
there.
You sound like, what's the name of that? The guy that does the phone calls.
Roy D. Mercer.
Yeah. I think at our dragon college, there'd have to be like the guy who's like the dragon mechanic. Like, now what you got to do, you got a little problem with the left claw, and that's something we got twisted in and rode over to rotate the cuff and different, you know, little
it'll
things
be about
like
$500.
That. It'll be about, you know, we'll get up under there, we'll take a look at it, and we'll get back to you, you know.
Well, by God, how big a boy are you? Yeah. I tell you right now, I got a dragon that's a rare black dragon that ain't been seen around here these parts for 500 years. Down at the gummit, and I'm gonna come down there.
But when
and
they
I'm
say the
give
name,
what fur?
The accent falls off. His dragon name is Tyrannosaurus. I hate a big old dragon right there.
Yeah, I'm that gummit. I'm gonna come down there with my dragon, Bathrakia.
Shushriel. All right, so in future episodes, one, we got to plan the what Basketh sport. What,
I think
what high school football.
That's going to probably tie into our Appalachian fantasy.
Actually, this brings it all together. Basketh is a college. What's the sport of Basketh? College sports, Tennessee football. Man, it's just all overlap. We'll invent what the college football for Basketh is.
Yeah.
And then I think down the road, maybe we do a whole special episode where you and I, after inspired by this book, write our own romanticy, which shout out to Courtney Park for informing us. Romanticy is we were trying to figure out if it's, you know, fantasy or romance.
Yeah, it's romanticy.
So look forward to that in future episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. Same. I've enjoyed it.
Immensely.
What a time.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Sam flashes a wry smile.